Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM Sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Hello, it is FMC. I'm Jeremy. That is SP3. It is Tuesday, June 18th. What are you doing the Monet dance for?
Is this in the weasel? Happy. She was doing the CEO dance all over TD Garden yesterday. So yeah. Decided to show my support to them in that slight way before I try.
We talk wrestling tomorrow, Pile Driver Finisher. Talk wrestling tomorrow. Yes, I was right. I was right about the Wyatt Six murdering people. You know why I was right? Because I just thought of the coolest, dumbest shit that they could possibly... I've already cursed 5 minutes in this show. Look at me. I just thought of the coolest, dumbest stuff they could do. I was like, that's what they should do. That's what they did. Mm-hmm. Me and Bray Wyatt are high-level geniuses that... We're not going to get credit until we're gone.
There you go.
One day I'll get the credit I deserve.
There you go. I did like the short you did with that they should have came out to meet the Grams. That was excellent. Excellently done. And the next edit where you edit the drop too, that was beautifully done. Got to hand it to you on your short game.
I'm trying to do more YouTube shorts and like I don't Man, think I'm been, good.
It's taking our channel to the next level. Freaking Chris G, his review of Raw from when Dom kissed Liv, 111,000 views. Like, it's literally gone like 4 weeks being our top rated, top viewed video. All you got to do is go for the pervs.
Clearly. Like, I don't know if they're good, but I'm trying. And my whole thing is, one, I'm very bad with idle time. Like, I can't just sit and be idle. I can scroll my phone a little bit, but I get bored of that because I don't really care about everybody's takes on stuff. I don't care about other people's opinions. So, like, I've got to be doing something. A lot of times, like I'll be playing video games, or I play a pro wrestling sim on my computer, like whatever it might be. But like, I don't like working. I do a lot of work, but I like contributing. And this is just a new way to contribute, of creating shorts. So I like being useful. And maybe that sounds, I don't know, but like, I like being useful. So I like to do stuff. So I'm like, shorts, okay. We don't really have a lot of those on Overbooked. I tried to do them for a while, but I tried to do them from my phone off like the shorts editor that they have. And like, it's not very good and it's very limited. So I just kind of gave up on that. And then this weekend I was like, I'm just going to learn how to sort of do it and do halfway decent shorts. So that's basically what I spent my weekend doing, is trying to learn how to do shorts. And I'll get better with time, but I'm trying. Maybe I'll create something out of this show. I need to create. Need to create me back-to-back seasons SP3. I'm genius. I won't get my flowers until I'm gone.
Hey, I'm giving you a round seasons. Of applause.
You appreciate me. You appreciate me. But like, I feel like I should be... This is going to sound very egotistical, and look, I'm only partially kidding with all of this. I feel like my takes and expertise and genius deserves to be on some place like ESPN.
I agree.
Did they have anybody who said last season the Denver Nuggets were going to win the NBA championship before the season started? Did anybody on one of these multi-billion dollar platforms predict that?
I think so. I think future Laker head coach JJ Redick. He was the only one that predicted the Denver Nuggets during the preseason preview for 2023.
Last season.
Yeah, last season. Yeah,
I'm gonna look this up.
For its 2023 season.
I'm gonna look this up.
Okay. Go for it.
I'm gonna look this up.
Go for it. I don't know if anybody, and I don't think anybody got it back to back season. So you got your claim to fame there.
I don't know. I can't. It's all Lakers stuff. Of
yeah, like, all JJ Redick and the Lakers. I was like, I doubt you're gonna find that. But now, I remember watching that preseason, and it was the only other person besides you was JJ Redick that I remember.
Yeah, it's all JJ Redick, and I'll take your word for it.
I'm pretty sure JJ predicted Denver this year, so that's why I say you still have the claim to fame that you got back to back.
Last season, very few people, maybe JJ Redick, maybe. We don't have that double sourced yet. Very few people predicted that the Denver Nuggets would win the NBA championship. I did. This season, preseason, I'm sure plenty of people picked Boston. I don't know about everybody, but like, Boston was probably a fairly sentimental pick. Everyone knew they were good. Everyone knew they had Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. They were in the finals a couple years ago. They lost. They were in the conference finals last year. They almost came back from down 0-3. If Tatum doesn't get hurt on the first play of the game, who knows what would have happened? Still lost. They were in the conference finals. Still. This season, Boston Celtics, I picked them. Back-to-back seasons, SP3. Everybody listening. Back-to-back seasons, I've predicted the NBA champions. In the preseason, everybody, not the middle of the season, not after the trade deadline, not before the playoffs, not during the finals, before a single second of meaningful basketball was played, I told you who was going to win the NBA championship in back-to-back seasons. Name somebody else who's done that. I should be getting paid Stephen A. Smith money for these.
I'm sure you know how to talk to black women better than him. So,
oof. Not good.
For someone who always talks about, oh, I got sisters at home, he sure needs to call them to how to talk to black women on air. So, I'm no longer referencing myself as the wrestling version of Stephen A. Smith, because I'm the wrestling version of Stephen A. Smith that knows how to speak to black women. But that's a topic for another time. I will give Jeremy his flowers. He was correct back-to-back seasons. He didn't give me my flowers when I was right about the Warriors winning before and the Lakers winning in 2020. I also predicted 2021, the Milwaukee Bucks winning. I had 3 years in a row. But no, I didn't get any credit for
that.
Is this
on record?
We weren't doing the show back then, but I did say it on the True Hill Heat YouTube channel. Go back and watch it. But I was wrong the last two seasons. So I give you your flowers. Your flowers. You were correct during the preseason at that. So you deserve a whole bunch of credit. But the credit really goes to the Boston Celtics, who have, you know, I've been seeing YouTube video, this like duo of the century and all this stuff about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. I won't call them duo of the century, duo of the decade, or whatever they want to call them. But this is probably the best homegrown duo that we have seen since Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Like, the fact that these guys started out on this team together, they kept them together throughout all the trials and tribulations when a lot of people were telling them to trade Jaylen Brown, to fill out the roster, to get a big man for Jaylen Brown, all types of stuff that we've heard over the past 3 to 4 years in regards to this duo. They kept them together. They believed in them, and they built around them. And like you said, they went to the NBA Finals in 2022, lost to, you know, the last best vestiges of the dynasty of the Golden State Warriors last year, the loss in game 7 against the Miami Heat, not being able to make it to the NBA Finals then. And what did they do? They went in the offseason and they filled out the roster. They finally got a big man that could stretch the floor in Kristaps Porzingis during the early portion, right before the season starts. They go off of waivers and get Drew Holiday, who is just such an important piece. Like, he is the piece.
Waivers.
was it waivers or was it a trade? It was a trade, right?
They traded the trade. Drew, yeah.
Okay, trade. I mean, I basically say it was waivers because they were just trying to trade Drew Holiday. I mean, Drew, how are you trying to trade Drew Holiday? He was the difference maker for the Milwaukee Bucks while they won in 2021. And then he is, once again, two-time NBA champion. But just, it felt like he got off of waivers, but I know it was a trade. But it felt like
give
team
Malcolm
that he,
Brogdon.
Yeah, we saw how well that worked out. But then, like, he was such an important piece. He was the best. He was the best defensive player, right next to Derek White, who really stepped up and should have got, I don't know, you know, most improved player. He should have been, top five. I'm sure he was, but he was great defensively. Kristaps Porzingis, even through injury playing last night, they deserve all the credit in the world. Shout outs to the Boston Celtics on getting banner number 18, going one ahead of the Los Angeles Lakers. Our tie only lasted 4 years, then they were able to get their fourth, their 18th banner. So congratulations to the Boston Celtics. And most of all, congratulations to Jaylen Brown, because Jaylen Brown had to deal with a lot of BS over the last couple of seasons. Like I said, all the people saying that he should have been traded, all the people saying, oh, Jason Tatum's so much better than him, even though their stats were always kind of mashed up very, very well with one another. And he played exceptional throughout these playoffs, other than game 4, where he just kind of all the busted Celtics felt like they just took the day off. He really showed out in this series. And, you know, it was very much, it probably was a toss-up when it comes to who was going to win the NBA Finals MVP, because Jason Tatum had an excellent game last night. He had an excellent game in game 3, but Jaylen Brown was the more consistent of the two. He was more consistent, and especially in the games they won, he was always the best player, is seemingly, on the court. And, you know, I give it up to the Dallas Mavericks, who, in all intents and purposes, we're not supposed to be here. They overachieved with putting their roster together after the trade deadline, making the moves that they had to make it this far. But they were totally outmatched. We said that at the beginning of the season, of the series. I went with the Dallas Mavericks only because I will never go for the Boston Celtics. And that's why at the beginning of the season, I said the Boston Celtics would make it to the NBA Finals, but I said they would lose to the Los Angeles Lakers, because my Laker heart won't allow me to pick the Celtics, even though it's the smart move. And that's why I went on the True Hill Heat Sports and Entertainment channel and picked the Boston Celtics there, because I was like, I got to go with my head on one of these podcasts that I'm doing predictions on. I got to go with my head instead of my heart. But I went with that there. But here, I did predict the Lakers, but I did have the Boston Celtics making the NBA Finals. And, you know, we said it last year with the Denver Nuggets. I would love to see a Denver Nuggets versus Boston Celtics NBA Finals. I think that would be kind of the perfect NBA Finals to feel for one of these teams should be able to win a second championship in this 2020 decade. I feel like one of these teams are kind of they're perfectly constructed to make it that far to the NBA Finals again, whether it be next season, whether it be the year after. That's the NBA Finals I really want to see, because this NBA Finals was trash. We said it at the beginning. The Boston Celtics had the better overall team, and they proved that, because this was one of the most lackluster NBA final series that we have seen in quite some time.
It wasn't a good finals. It wasn't. Most of the games weren't fun. The last two games, especially, just complete blowouts. Like, we, you know, it wasn't great. I didn't think it'd be. I thought it'd be a little bit more competitive. I expected a little bit more out of Luka and Kyrie. Credit to Boston. Boston, like, completely neutralized them, especially Kyrie. Like, outside of game four, Kyrie was invisible the entire series. Luka was, he got some numbers in the first four games. Last game, he was nobody
he
on
was,
Dallas.
He was the walking wounded at that point.
He didn't play much defense outside of game four, and then it's always hilarious when, you know, a team wins a game. Like, when Dallas won game four, all I saw were all these people. It was like, oh, Luka and Kyrie actually play defense. Look how Dallas dominated just because they play defense. That's all they got to do. It's like, I'm good. They did it for one game. I literally saw somebody say, like, Dallas doesn't have to make any adjustments. Dallas just has to continue to play their game. What adjustments can Boston make? They can't. They have no adjustments to make. Any adjustment Boston makes after game four makes them worse. And that's why they're
going to. Who said this?
Oh, some Dallas fans. I think Jason Kidd actually kind of like hinted at that too. And that's why people are like, Jason Kidd's right. Boston can't do anything except play better. That's the adjustment. Play better. It's a good adjustment to make. Just play better. It's so, fans love to react, and I'm guilty of it. You love to react to just like one game. One game, and it's just, that's it. This game's over, season's over, series is over. What can they do against this after one game? Look, if you win a game, if you're down 0-3 and you win game four and you win a blowout, like, it's good, you feel good about that. But you're still down 3-1. And you got to win three more, two of them on the road. You've lost the first three for a reason. I know you won game four by a blowout. Like, that's good. It's honestly, if you're Boston, and this is what they did, it seemed like they looked at game four and it's like, well, we shot poorly. We played poorly. They did some good things. But at the end of the day, we're up 3-1. We're going back home. If they can replicate that performance three more times, more power to them. I don't think anybody outside of Dallas fans really thought they were going to replicate that performance three more times.
No.
It wasn't a good finals.
Especially not in Boston.
Yeah. It wasn't a good finals.
If this was the old format, though, do you think it goes six games if game five was in Dallas?
Maybe. Maybe. The old format was weird. I don't know if I liked it, but it was interesting. I liked that, like, it was something different, because I'm so used to 2-2-1-1-1.
Yeah.
Because that's what the NHL has always done. But I do like that the NBA tried something different with the 2-3-2 format. And I kind of like wouldn't mind if they went back to that. I think it adds a little bit of a twist. But I also think, in some ways, it gives the road team an advantage. And I don't know if they obviously don't want to do that. They like, it's home court. for a reason. So I understand why they moved away from it, but I do like that it was something different.
Yeah, I always enjoyed it because I feel like, you know, NBA Finals, you should make that different from every other series in the playoffs. And I do agree, but I felt like it was more of a balancing act because, yeah, the home team, the team that has home court advantage has four home games, but it was like a balancing act in counteracting that in the fact that the road team had three straight home games. I thought that it was a balancing act, and I felt like the series were a lot more interesting back then in the NBA Finals. But, I mean, I understand them making that adjustment, making it just 2-2, 1-1-1 for the rest of the playoffs. But I thought that was an interesting question, and I wanted to see if anybody else wants to answer in the chat. If Game 5 was in Dallas, do you think Dallas would have won that game to make it a six-game series, which would have made it a little bit more interesting? But, hey, we wouldn't have been able to talk about the NBA Finals as a whole if that happened.
Yeah. I would have preferred six games. I would have preferred seven games. I would like if we had a little bit more basketball, but a season or the series, once it was 3-0, you could tell where things were going.
Yeah.
Good on Jaylen Brown, by the way. Jaylen Brown got a lot of flack. You gave him credit as well. Like, a lot of flack before the season, signed a big contract, biggest contract in NBA history. Oh, does he deserve it? Like, he shut everybody up. I've said he's been the best player on Boston. Now, part of that, fully admit, not the biggest Jason Tatum fan in the world. I think Jason Tatum is, it's tough to call him overrated, but aesthetically, I don't like his game. He shoots the ball weird. He's got the little, like, I don't know what all that is. Like, his form is weird. He wants to be Kobe so bad, and it's just, I'm just not a fan of Jason Tatum's game. I can fully admit that. I can recognize my own bias against Jason Tatum. I can. So I've always liked Jaylen Brown's game better. Good on him for really stepping up all throughout the playoffs and then in the finals and winning finals MVP, deservedly so.
Jason 21 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists, 2 steals. Jason Tatum averaged 22 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, and 1 steal. But he was very much propped up by game 3 and 5 in that series for him.
Look, Jason Tatum played good in the finals. I'm not going to deny that. He had a good season overall. Just aesthetically, I don't like his game overall. It wants to be Kobe so bad. Like, I'd probably really like Jason Tatum's game a lot more if he played more like Tracy McGrady than Kobe Bryant. Be a slasher.
I was gonna say if he played, because I think the slasher to the rim is more like Jaylen Brown. I feel Jaylen Brown plays more like Tracy McGrady. I would like Jason Tatum more if he played like Kevin Durant. I think he can be a good shooter, a mid-range shooter, and he does hit the mid-range shot a lot better even than he hits his threes. So I think that if he more custom his game to that and compared himself to that, I think he can get closer than comparing himself to Kobe.
I'd also like his game a lot more if his shot motion didn't look like such trash. It just looks ugly. Like, it looks so ugly. Again, aesthetically, I'm just like, the little, like, what are we doing here? What are we doing with that? Look, it works for him. I can't knock him. Like, the dude's an NBA champion. The dude's, you know, he's one of the top players in the league. It clearly works for him. Just looks ugly.
But go. You know what we got to talk about, Jeremy, for you specifically, the person that we're most happy for winning his first championship for the Boston Celtics, former Atlanta Hawks great, former OKC Thunder great, 17 Legend. Seasons in the NBA, 186 playoff games. Al Horford is finally an NBA champion.
That was Thunder Legend. Thunder Legend Al Horford. I was very happy for Al Horford. I like I don't like Boston overall, just because who could root for Boston unless you're like a Boston fan? Yeah. But I do like a lot of players on the team. Can I like Jaylen Brown? Because he got a lot of criticism. Love Al Horford for half a season for the Thunder because they shut him down halfway through because they didn't want to hurt a trade asset. Love Al Horford. I like Drew Holiday. I thought Drew Holiday, he was, you know, kind of cast aside by Milwaukee. They went in a different direction with Dame, fair. But Drew Holiday is a glue guy who brings, look, he brought Milwaukee together, helped them win a title. Brought Boston together, helped them win a title. I like Porzingis because I thought Porzingis got a bad rap in Dallas with playing with Luka and everybody just kind of dismissed him. And then he toiled away in Washington, which is, you know, not fully his fault.
And he got a bad rap in New York, man. I became a KP fan because of how New York Knicks fans used to talk about KP. And I'm like, the guy's talented. He's just getting hurt here. So I thought I was very optimistic about the pairing of him and Luka. And then he got a bad rap there. So yeah, I'm also very happy for KP to finally win that championship. And the way he did it, you know, going through injury and still playing, that shows progression from what was his rap and reputation in New York.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, Boston's got some likable guys. They're just Boston. So,
yeah. I'm very happy. Root for a team whose fans regularly say the N word. I'm sorry.
Fair. Very fair. I am happy for OKC legend Al Horford, though. Al Horford played great. And again, in the season and a half, or half a season, maybe season and a half, half a season that he was there, Shea credits him for, you know, being a stretch guy to kind of open up the floor a little bit for Shea. Because Horford actually shot the ball well from three when he was in OKC. So Shea credits him for that. I also like that Boston won because I like how Boston built their team. They stuck with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. When everybody was saying trade one of them, they were like, nope, we're going to stick with these guys and we're going to build around them. They got pieces like Derek White. They had a veteran guy coming in, bringing Al Horford back to that team. They looked at their team. You know, last year they acquired Malcolm Brogdon. They thought they needed scoring off the bench, and then Brogdon got hurt. So that was an unfortunate situation for them. But they had Marcus Smart, and they were like, all right, Marcus Smart's good. Can we upgrade? And they upgraded by taking Smart, flipping him to Washington, essentially. He went to Memphis, I know, but the whole piece of the trade. And getting...
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Porzingis, because they're like, well, we need a guy in the middle who can stretch but also punish if teams are going to play like zone. So we get a guy who just shoot over from the mid-range, shoot over people, unlock some stuff there. And then they pounced on Jrue Holiday when Jrue became available after the trade to Portland, and it was obvious Portland was going to move him and not keep him. They're like, all right, well, now we've really upgraded Marcus Smart, because we've basically replaced Marcus Smart with Jrue Holiday. Well, they went out, they got the guys, they got their core guys that they believed in Brown and Tatum, and then they put pieces around them. They were not afraid to make moves, even if it meant trading a guy like Marcus Smart, who I know Boston fans loved and who was an essential part of the team that before the iteration of the team before this current team, they weren't afraid to trade him. Like,
and they weren't afraid to make these moves. They stuck with even like role players like Peyton Pritchard, who was talked about for trades and stuff like that. So yeah, I you have to give Boston credit for how they assembled this championship team, because they did it the right way. They made key acquisitions when they needed to, key trades, and yeah, I mean, like I said, they seem poised to win another championship. But we did say the same thing about the Denver Nuggets, and we got to see how the rest of the league basically reacts to Boston winning this championship, because as we saw with Denver winning last year, the teams in the West kind of tried to assemble their team to beat that team. Now we're going to see if the East can make the adjustments and try to assemble a team that can beat Boston.
I think the biggest assembly the East can do is just get healthy. I mean, look, let's be honest. Look, Boston was the best team all season. No argument. They were the best team in the regular season. They were a great team in the playoffs as well. Two things can be true. A team can be great. A team can show you who they are through 82 games and be the best team in the league. And they can also get an easy path to the finals where they face a bunch of teams who are missing their top players. It's very true. Look, you play who's in front of you. I've always said that. You can only play who's in front of you. You can't just wait for Jimmy Butler to get healthy. Oh, we're not going to play these games until Jimmy Butler gets healthy. You can't do that. You've been playing in August. Game one of the first round starting in August 20th. You can't do any of that. They had the path that they had. They earned it by being the one seed and lucking out with some injuries. But they had the path that they had. They didn't have to face Butler. They didn't have to face, I mean, the Knicks lost, I know, but the Knicks were banged up. Halliburton got injured. Mitchell, Jared Allen.
Giannis and Dame were injured.
Yeah, Giannis missed the playoffs. Embiid was banged up for the actual playoffs once he got there. Like, he played well, but he was a little bit banged up. The East was completely ravaged with injuries. They had the path that they had. So I don't know. I think the East will look at, and teams in the East will look at it and be like, you know what? If we could just stay healthy, we'll be okay. Now, this is also where Boston can kind of hang their hat. It's like, well, we didn't have Porzingis for most of the playoffs. And this is how you know Boston was just built well. It's like, all right, they sustained and survived it without Porzingis. Now, if Porzingis is hurt, but Cleveland has Mitchell and Allen, does that change things? Maybe. Who knows? But the fact that they could miss basically, look, at best, Porzingis is their third best player. You can argue Jrue. You can argue Derek White, depending on the night. At best, he's third. He's not better than Tatum or Brown. And at worst, he's their fifth best player.
Yeah.
Once again, you can argue Jrue and White are more important to their overall team success. So they were missing anywhere from the third to fifth best player, while Miami was missing their best player. Cleveland was missing their best. And then Jared Allen is third, probably third. I'm not putting him over Garland or Mobley.
Yeah.
He's probably their fourth best player. Halliburton, obviously the Pacers' best player. So, but they were able to survive, sustain without Porzingis, and they still won. But I think the East is probably going to look at it as like, we just got to be healthy for next year. Now, I don't think they should be reactive to that, though. I still feel they should be proactive of like, if you can make an upgrade somewhere, you should do it. Don't look at just this season and just think, oh, if we're healthy, we'll be fine. I think Denver kind of showed that this year, because Denver lost Bruce Brown and they were just like, oh, we're just going to plug in Peyton Watson and we'll be okay. We'll just give Christian Brown some minutes and we'll be okay. If you have a chance to still plug in your gaps, even if you're the champions, even if you think, oh, we just need to be healthy, you should still probably plug your gaps just in case you're not healthy, just in case that guy you're expecting to step up doesn't step up. This is what I'm preaching with OKC right now, is like, you can hope that J-Dub takes a step, Chet takes a step, Shea continues to, it's tough for Shea to fully improve, but takes another step, and just guys play better now that they've got experience. But if you've got a chance to trade the 12th pick, if you've got a chance to trade Giddy, if you can plug in a gap with a trade or a signing, you should do it. Don't expect the rookie to step up or health to be there or anything like that. Just whatever you could do to actually make the team better, you should probably just do it.
I agree with that. That's a good way to think of it. Yeah, because I was going to say, when you're like, oh, the easy is probably saying they need to be healthy, I was like, they can't rest on their laurels that way. No, I don't even think if these guys were healthy that they're beating Boston in a 7-game series. But we're going to see, you know, what moves happen during the offseason and how the East adjusts to, you know, Boston winning the championship. But once again, credit to the Boston Celtics and credit to Joe Mazzulla, who got a lot of heat, who people were saying like he was going to be on the hot seat at the beginning of the season. He showed out. He brought the team together. He did great. He outcoached Jason Kidd in this NBA Finals completely, and he showed that he's worthy of having that role as the Boston Celtics head coach. So I got to give credit to Joe Mazzulla as well.
I had to give credit to Brad Stevens. I mean, everyone thought he was, and look, Brad Stevens was a very good head coach. There was very stupid arguments of like, who would you rather have, LeBron or Brad Stevens? Well, this is, mind you, is like peak LeBron. This is Miami Heat LeBron. This is not LeBron at 40, who's still very good. But there was real arguments of, would you rather have Brad Stevens, a good head coach, but a head coach who had never won an NBA championship, or literally maybe the greatest player of all time at his peak. And people were like, oh, Brad Stevens, like, are you stupid? Brad Stevens, a very good head coach, an even better team builder. This is the credit.
Yeah, he's proven he's a better team builder. It's like the reverse Steve Kerr, where Steve Kerr wasn't the best team builder when he was like general manager of, Phoenix and stuff like that. And then he becomes a head coach and he becomes one of the greatest head coaches of this modern era. It was like the reverse of that, where Brad Stevens was a really good head coach and he turned out to be an even better team builder and team president for this team. So,
yeah, Brad Stevens did a great job, you know, making the trades that maybe some people wouldn't make, or not making the trades that maybe some people would have made. I know. And Kyrie did the LeBron outie last night. 2.5 minutes left in the game. All right, quick dap up with everybody. Done. He's ass.
Hey, I mean, as a family member, I would just want to say, Kyrie does not like being in Boston. We saw that in the way that he played when he was on the TD Garden court. And I mean, even during the game, I heard the way those Boston fans scream stuff at Kyrie. And my nephew was actually there, actually went to, you know, Boston for one of the games. And he was like, never again. He literally told me that. He was like, never again. He was like, no. He was like, I'm not going to bring my family to that and stuff, you know, with Kyrie's fam. I'm not doing that again. Like it's really bad. So I don't hold it against Kyrie for doing the dap up and peacing out early because it was in Boston.
I don't either. Like, I'm not going to crucify the guy for, again, doing the Irish goodbye of, all right, see you later. Just let me dismiss
myself. Game was over at halftime. Like, if we're being serious here, the game was over at halftime. He could have peaced out at halftime, but he stood to the fourth quarter.
Kyrie deserves some blame for the way he played overall. in the finals. Yes. I'll criticize him for that. He wasn't good in the finals. No. And credit to Boston. Boston had the bodies to throw at him to make him uncomfortable, to make it tough on him. He just wasn't good enough for... And this is where I got a little... I thought the accolades on Kyrie were too high going into the finals of... I always think that the accolades are too high on Kyrie. Most skilled guard of all time and best backcourt of all time. And I'm like, look, Kyrie's a very good basketball player. Very, very good. There's also a reason why he's not had the accolades and the success that other guards have had outside of when he was with LeBron. Like, it is what it is with Kyrie. We can recognize that he's very good. He does a lot of things. This is when it comes to aesthetically pleasing. Kyrie has a very aesthetically pleasing game. He hits tough shots. His dribble moves are great. His finishing around the rim is like top 99% of all time. He does a lot of very aesthetically pleasing things on a basketball court. But that always isn't conducive to winning basketball games. And sometimes it's the guys around him. Sometimes it's him in that he does not always make his teammates better. And there's a reason why his biggest two successes in playoff history, one, he was playing with the greatest player of all time, or second greatest at worst. Two, he's playing with the best player, second best player, maybe third best player in the league in one of his prime years. Those have been the best years of Kyrie. When he's been the guy on a team, his teams go as far as they go.
When he plays with these all-time great all-around players, that's when he achieves his most, because Kyrie is a great number two. I think that he has the potential to be a great number two. We saw that in 2016. We saw it throughout the Western Conference playoffs this season. He could be a very, very good to great number two player, but he's not the number one player. He proved that when he went to Boston, and he doesn't have a lot of the intangibles that you're looking for a guy that's going to help out his teammates and make them better and elevate their games to the next level. He's not that guy, and that's totally fine. You don't have to be that guy if you're playing with a Luka Doncic, who is that guy. So I think that he's found the right team for him for now, and I think that if they can do more team building, of course, guys like Derek Lively is going to improve. PJ Brown, I thought, played really good throughout the Western Conference finals. I mean, Western Conference playoffs, but not so much in this series. But Kyrie's got to make the adjustments, and Dallas has to further fill out this team. This team was good enough and at times great enough to make it to the NBA Finals, but they were not good enough to match up with the Boston Celtics.
Look, Dallas is going to be a problem in the West moving forward. They've got Luka, who still, I don't think, is as good as he can be. Luka's only 25, maybe he just turned 26, but he's going to get better. He's got things to do.
He's about to turn 25.
Is he?
Yeah, he's 24.
No, he's 25. He turned 25 in February.
Yeah. Oh, no.
I knew he was at least 25. Okay, so they've got Luka, who's going to get better. Only 25. He still has room for improvement. They've got, you mentioned Lively. He's going to get better. The trade for Gafford made them better. PJ Washington turned out to be, he was Ray Allen against the Thunder, but he's got room to improve as well. They could maybe move off Tim Hardaway this offseason.
Please, man. He's been on this team way too long. Way too long.
Look, he was needed for a time, but now, the team is built different and they probably don't need him as much. So they have moves that they can make. Yeah, Tim Hardaway has 2 years left on his deal, and it's a big deal that they could move off of. Because they're probably, they got Derek Jones Jr. on a cheap deal this season. They're probably going to have to re-sign Derek Jones Jr., and he's going to cost them more. If they want to. Maybe they don't. Maybe they aren't going to re-sign him. But if they do, then they're going to have to move off of Tim Hardaway, because he's making nearly $18 million for a guy who didn't get off the bench in the finals. And they got guys who can improve. I like Josh Green's game. I think he'll kind of improve as well. Jaden Hardy can step up at times. Like, they're a fine team.
Three core young guys of Lively, Green, and Hardy, those are guys that, you know, are going to improve, going to evolve their games, and could, you know, further complete this team and make them a very deep team moving forward. I think you keep someone like PJ Washington, like you said, Gafford played well. I agree with you with the players that you mentioned that they probably should move off of if they can find an upgrade, like a Derrick Jones Jr., Tim Hardaway Jr. I'm very adamant about just get rid of him. Like, what is he here for? Is he here to play basketball? Because I don't know. Because even when he did get on the court, he was averaging a triple zero. So he couldn't even foul somebody to get one foul on the shit.
I love how Tim Hardaway Jr. just non-existent the entire playoffs. And then he had that one game against OKC where he had damn near 20 points. It's like, of course he did. Of course. Can't do anything all playoffs. Everybody's like, Tim Hardaway Jr., he sucks, he sucks, he sucks. And then in game two against OKC, 17 points. Sure. Of course.
Gotta love it. Gotta love it.
Anyway, the NBA season's over. Yep. Offseason begins. I mean, technically it begins now. NBA draft is in 9 days. I think it's next. Yeah. I think it's next Thursday.
So we'll call on, you know, Louie. I see Louie in the chat. We'll call on a couple of our friends for our NBA draft preview for next week. Next week we'll do the NBA draft preview and talk about this lackluster NBA draft outside of number 17 pick, Bronny James. That's what I'm looking
forward to. Yeah, I don't know anybody who's getting drafted. I think Usman Dieng's Is it Usman Dieng? No, it's Oliver Saar's. It's Alex Saar. He's supposed to be one of the like top three picks. That's Oliver Saar's brother. And Jalen Williams, J Dub's brother, might be Cody Williams. Those are the only two names I know because they're relatives of OKC players. So that's the only reason I know them. That's the only reason I know they're in this draft. So, Louis says Alex Saar is good. Yeah, he's supposed to be a top three pick, maybe even the number one pick. So we'll see.
I've heard that name. I'm very curious
what Atlanta does with the number one pick. Honestly, like they got directions they can go. I think OKC makes a move. OKC's got the 12th pick. They've got tradable players and contracts. I think they might do something. Free agency is July 1st. Paul George doesn't have a new deal. See if they were doing some tampering. They're in the finals with Joel Embiid and Paul George both sitting there. And
yo, it was so obvious tampering. What are we doing? What are we doing, dog? Didn't you learn from LeBron and Dame? That shit don't work. You gotta lay off that.
Yeah, they were doing some tampering there with Embiid and George both sitting there. So, and LeBron's son, you know, I guess he's gonna get drafted.
Yeah. And we'll talk about probably the Lakers will hopefully have a head coach by next week. If anyone's watching on Facebook and see us talking about failing to hire a coach. We did talk about that last week.
Yeah, that was my fault. I completely forgot that we talked about them. I thought our conversation was still about them trying to hire Harvey and then
Hurley. No, it was because it was last Monday that Hurley turned us down. So that's how I remembered that we did talk about that. Because we missed all the talk about Hurley coming to the Lakers because I think that talk started on a Thursday and then he had till Monday to accept the offer and then by Monday he turned us down. So that's how I remember. That's how I remember the timeline going.
Yeah, I completely botched the timeline, but that's why I changed it. So I appreciate you.
This is why you have me. To remember when we talk crap about my Los Angeles Lakers, because I don't like doing it, but you got to do it sometimes, and I have to come up with a way to make it on the positive, which I did last week. Check it out, FMC from last week. It was good stuff.
All right. I don't know if Cher has watched Perfect Match, but I'll send her the link to see.
Yeah, we'll send her a link. See when she shows up. But yes, I have finally watched Perfect Match. Last week, I only had watched the first episode, and I was kind of excited with stuff because I thought it was going to go a certain way. And then that totally got blown up in my face because by like the episode that Dom came in and he's hugging up with what's his name? Harry, who piped his Georgia. The winners of Perfect Match season one was Dom and Georgia. And apparently Harry was the one that Georgia cheated on him with. And then Georgia cheated on Harry with Tyga, which was it's like, damn, Georgia, sheesh. They ain't going to invite you back to one of these things. But Perfect Match is basically, to answer Frantic World in the chat, we reviewed season one. So season one was basically, it's all these reality stars from Netflix reality. It's basically the Netflix reality version. It's like a mix of Love Connection meets The Challenge. That's what I say. Like, because, you know, The Challenge is all about people from MTV reality shows coming together. And then Love Connection is about two people being paired up together. So it's basically Love Connection meets The Challenge. It's hosted by Nick Lachey. So it's a part of the Lacheyverse on Netflix. And you have people from Too Hot to Handle, from The Mole, from The Trust, from The Circle, Love is Blind, and they all come into a house and they basically have to find their perfect match. So it starts off with five girls and five guys, and they have to match up that first night so that they, you know, have their teams for the first compatibility challenge. And then every other night, they basically have to, they'll find their perfect match. They can switch matches. And then after the compatibility challenge, the winners of the compatibility challenge, they win a date together. And then they get to go into the boardroom. The boardroom is where they pick other singles from Netflix reality shows to bring in. And they get to match them up with either themselves or one of the other couples. So certain weeks, it'll be four guys. Certain weeks, it'll be four girls. Certain weeks, it was two and two. It was two guys, two girls, and they could match them up with each other. And I thought this season was not as good as the first season, in my opinion. Yeah. Not as good as the first season.
But there's no one on the level of Francesca who was there to completely create chaos. That's all she was there to do. Cher Delaware does join us. Cher, we're talking about Perfect Match. I don't even know if you've watched the second season. Okay. Well,
so we'll tell you about it.
We're going to spoil a lot of it if you do.
I love when you guys just tell me everything anyway. I never watched the first season. So.
Oh, fair.
There we go.
It is a little, Frantic World, it is a little bit like Are You the One? That's a comparison I would make as well. Okay. It is a little bit like Are You the One?
Yeah, I did watch a little bit of Are You the One? So, yeah, the most interesting person on this series was Harry.
Yeah.
Harry is just a lightning rod of, he's just the ultimate fuckboy trying to do a redemption arc. He said he's been through therapy and he's really trying to find his perfect match. Yet every time he came across somebody that he's either had sex with or wanted to have sex with, he did not stop himself from saying something slick in a conventional or doing something slick, as we saw in the latest batch of episodes. So
he's a work in progress. He's a work in progress.
He is.
He's a work in progress. So he's from season one of Too Hot to Handle, and he was Francesca's boyfriend on that first season.
They got engaged.
I didn't even know that. I do remember that he proposed on the reunion.
Yeah,
right? When they did the Skype reunion, he proposed through Skype to her. And they so he was really young at that time. Like he feels like he looks like a totally different person. He had the baby face. He had no facial hair back then. Now he's got facial hair. He said he's been living in Los Angeles, and he's a reformed fuckboy apparently. So. First night, he gets with basically from Too Hot to Handle, Elise. I don't think I've saw her season of Too Hot to Handle. I still haven't seen season three or season four, whatever season they're up to in Too Hot to Handle. I haven't watched that yet. But he matched up with Elise. And just to go through his whole arc on this show. So he matches up with Elise, and him and Elise are really like the best couple. They win one of the compatibility challenges. They really seem to be feeling each other. They're kissing at night in the bed and stuff. But then One of the other couples, which was at that time was Micah and Kaz, they go into the boardroom and they want to give Harry a test. So they bring in Harry's type, which Harry made very evident at the beginning of the season. His type is short and brunette. And they literally show you all of his exes that have been on Perfect Match season one are all short brunettes. It was I forgot the girl that was on the circle in Too Hot to Handle. I forgot her name, but Georgia and Francesca kind of fit that build as well. And they are both of his exes. So they bring in Jessica from Love is Blind, someone you know, Cher. They bring in Jessica and she's matched up with Harry, and he instantly falls in love with her. He's like, he really wants to have children of his own. So he appreciates the fact that she has a child and that she's a mother and that she's very mature and knows what she wants in life. And he doesn't even want to have the conversation with Elise. He made up his mind during the date that he was gonna match up with Jessica. And he doesn't even want to have the conversation with Elise. He doesn't talk to Elise when he gets back to the house, to the point that she has to basically put him on the spot and be like, yo, like, what's going on? Like, you didn't even tell me anything. You didn't make me feel better when you came back. And he was like, I don't know what you want me to say. Yeah, I'm going with her. He basically was just like, yeah, I'm going with her. And, you know, they're going along very nicely. But all the girls in the house are basically trying to tell Jessica, like, run. He's not reformed. This is not the redemption arc you think he's going to do. He's going to screw you over eventually. And it's not until we get to the end, which was the last batch of episodes. I think the second to last of the last batch of episodes. They do a thing where they have all the guys in the house go on a guy's retreat. And all the girls, the singles that have left the house and one new one, come and meet them at this guy's retreat. Because later that night, they're going to have an opportunity to match up with anybody that's available. They can match up. They can switch matches. So he's there and he's flirting with Melinda from Too Hot to Handle, and who was the host of Dated and Related. And he basically helps her because she says her feet, or she doesn't have any sandals on. So he says, oh, I'm going to help you. I'll carry you over the cobblestone. And he lifts her up and we see him lifting her up. And then he goes off of camera, and then all of a sudden, the next thing we hear is that Harry kissed Melinda, because he has some of her makeup on his face, and some people were like, yeah, he did it. And Melinda has no reason to lie. And when he gets back to the house, this dude acts all depressed. He's in his room when Jessica and the rest of the girls come back, because the girls had their own retreat where all the singles guys came, including Trevor's here.
Yeah, Trevor was not picked.
Not at all.
He was part of the boardroom matches, and he was not picked. I was hoping they would put Trevor with Jessica when they were in there the one time, but they didn't. But yeah, he was part of the singles retreat in there. I want to ask you, SB3, about Harry and him. He's working on himself. He's in therapy and everything. Because this is the biggest thing of the season, really. There's a couple talking points I wanna get your thoughts on. I know we gotta wrap at 11:30 today, but real quickly on these talking points, Harry and Melinda, what do you think happened?
I think
petting.
I think there was heavy petting, and I think that they got close enough to get him to get the makeup on his face. He probably either she went in for a kiss or he went in for a kiss and they bumped noses. I don't think they really legitimately kiss like Harry, because I really do believe Harry does really like Jessica. He really does care for Jessica, and his whole reaction to even just carrying her and stuff like that, and he felt guilty when he came back. I don't know if it's as blatant as Melinda is describing. I think that it's somewhere in the middle is the truth. What do you think?
I'm with you that it's probably in the middle. So what kind of threw me off was Harry was holding her, you know, she had like her legs wrapped around him in the front, and Holly was the one who was like, oh, they just kissed. And I don't know if Holly saw because they were just like close, but she was the one who initially pointed out the kiss. And so that's where I'm like, did she see something that they didn't see? Here's where I'm not on Melinda's side, though. you know, everybody's talking about Harry, and it's like they're trying to use him for their 15 minutes of fame, the clout, and all the stuff, which I do think is truthfulness, because Harry is the most popular person on the show. They did the challenge, and he's like, he made $100,000 off of OnlyFans and everything
in 24 hours.
Yeah, like he's very popular, very well known in the reality circle, I guess, and has his fan base and stuff. So easy person to get clout off of. Here's where I'm not on Melinda's side. She's a little over the top with things. And this is where I do believe it is, maybe she's stretching it a little much with this and how much they kissed. Maybe, I don't know if, because Harry says like she kind of went into him and he kind of turned away. And I can believe that, that you'll get makeup on your cheek off that. And if that's what Holly saw, she may have just seen, oh, they kissed, and didn't provide further context because it seemed like she was away. Here's where I'm definitely not on Melinda's side. One, they show this reaction shot. This is on the last episode. I show this reaction shot. Melinda like burst out big belly laugh when she's talking to somebody. You know who she was talking to, SP3, when she does this big old like, ah, ha, ha, I can't believe what you said, it was so funny. Izzy. Izzy is the most boring fucking person.
Say, there's no way anybody's laughing like that at him.
That, oh, I rewound this thing because the wife and I were watching and I'm like, nope, I'm not on Melinda's side anymore. Because she definitely just wants some TV time, because ain't no way Izzy said something funny enough to where you're doing a big old belly laugh at what he has to say.
Oh my God. Izzy had probably the cringiest conversation of the whole season. That with first Micah? Conversation he, with Micah.
Yeah.
Oh my God. He came off like a fanboy nerd. Oh yeah. Man. He just, I was just like, oh, please make it stop. Please make it stop.
So this is why I'm not on Melinda's side. Because one, she's reacting way too much to Izzy of all people. And two, you know, when she has like a second conversation with Jess, because they have the big confrontation at the table and, you know, all the girls are around, but then she has the one-on-one conversation and Melinda's like, oh yeah, he stood over me and he's like, I want to fuck you, I want to put a baby inside of you. It's like, you're talking a little too much and like being a little too descriptive, and the way you're like retelling this story, this feels like something you're saying to get on television or to try to get on underneath someone's skin and to try to get them to garner a reaction out of them. Like maybe Harry did say this, I don't know. But the way she's retelling it, I'm like, I don't really believe you when you're talking this story. Credit to Jess, by the way. One, she's shouldn't be on this show. This show's with the worst people in the world. She has a kid. But yeah, the wife and I were talking, I'm like, they're all trying to get a reaction out of her. And she is a kid. Like, she's actually mature on this. Like, she's not here to just
screw around. She handled herself very well.
Yeah.
During that whole all girls table when Melinda first lets it know. And she kept it real. She was like, you're trying to make this more of a big deal because you did it in this type of environment. You could have pulled me over to the side. Like, and she was like, I'm not about this whole reality stuff. Like, I'm very new to reality television. I was like, this is the most honest speech we've heard throughout this whole season.
And this is where, when they had the one-on-one conversation, this is where I thought Melinda was again saying too much to just try to get a reaction. It's like, wait a second. Now you're giving this information. You couldn't give this information before. It's like, oh, well, now it's a one-on-one setting. So I got to try to say something that's going to invoke a bigger reaction out of her, because I know I can get a decent reaction when there's, you know, 15 other women around. Now it's just us. I can't retell the same kiss story. I got to say something more to get a bigger reaction out of it. That's where I think Melinda is just kind of talking nonsense. But I don't know about Harry. I can't imagine Harry's actually a good actor on any of this. The dude did seem very, he knew what was at risk when it came to her, Jessica's reputation and the reputation of the kid as well, of where he seemed very distraught over what he did. He was throwing up all night and everything. Again, Harry ain't that good of an actor. He seemed,
and then
like
the combo with Dom too, that was what really convinced me to be like, yeah, I'm believing Harry more than Melinda, which is saying a lot.
He seemed very remorseful over just like holding her and running with her. And look, maybe he did kiss her, I don't know, But he was very remorseful over that. And it felt like if he went even further, maybe he would have, I don't know what he would have done, but he seemed like he knew he screwed up just with that. And so he didn't go and admit it, but maybe he did. It's Harry. Who knows?
Yeah.
I did love when the girls were at the table and everything, and Dom and Harry were walking by, and Jessica's like, "Oh, great, Harry, stay right here. Let's let's here." And then Dom's just like, Dom's has to pull him away. He's like, "Dude, he's like, when a group of women tied to the table, don't do that. Like, no, you walk away from that."
I was like, "Yo, Dom is a good friend." I was like, I needed that kind of that was a redemption for Dom because Dom looked worse this season than him crying last season in Perfect Match.
That and when him and Harry are talking. And Harry's like, "Oh, you know, Jess, she's so great, blah, blah, blah. Like, she's smart." Dom's like, "She'd be using mad syllables, huh?" Mad syllables pops me so much.
She'd be using mad syllables, right? Yeah. And even Dom was very respectful even during the girls' retreat when all the single guys were there. And he had that conversation with Jess. And he was talking about, like, "Yo, Jess is, like, the most genuine here." He was like, "I'm not trying to match up with her because that's my boy Harry's girl. But, like, I would just want her to be happy." I was like, "Yo, he's redeeming himself," because his whole match with Tolu made him look so bad. It made him look so bad because I know that he was just trying to match with her to get in the house. That's what it came off like. He was trying to match with her to get in the house, and then he was really trying to find who he could really match with after that, especially when Alara came in. But Alara already was matched up in the boardroom with Stefan, and Stefan was like, "Oh, I'm going with that one." He was like, "All right, Santi, get out of here." "Santi, I'm going with that now." And then he basically did everything in his power to make sure Alara knew that, like, he was for her 100%. And I will go give it to Stefan because that's totally different from his season of Too Hot to Handle. I do remember him for him because he was another one that's an ultimate fuckboy, like most of the guys from Too Hot to Handle. But yes, that's another topic.
I just had to look up who Harry is. He looks like a fuckboy.
Yeah. Very much is.
I was just scrolling through the cast and I was like, "Oh, that guy kind of looks like a fuckboy. Oh, that's Harry. Okay."
He had the ultimate fuckboy thing. And apparently it was a lie too. When Holly came in as Kaz's date on the match, and he was like, "Yeah, me and Holly, I had her on my podcast and we went out for dinner afterwards and we smashed. And I know that Stefan cream pied her." Yes, he actually said that in a
group. Yes.
And that was a lie. That was apparently a lie. Stefan didn't do that.
Why would you say that?
Oh, exactly.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I mean, if you want to be a fuckboy, be a fuckboy. Live your fuckboy life. Like, go for it. But, like, what is wrong with these people?
And then he bragged. During that true and false one that you were talking about before, when we find out that he made $100,000 on OnlyFans, we also found out that he was offered $40,000 to have sex with someone else's wife. And he was like, $40,000 for 30 seconds? He was like, "Hell yeah, I did it."
I had to keep my mouth shut on that because I was getting ready to say a specific person's name. I'm going to be quiet.
What were your thoughts on Micah and Kaz, SP3? So, where you stand on them?
So Micah and Kaz, I really wanted them to work. I will admit that with Alara and Stefan, I really wanted Alara to be with Dom because I really liked their conversation that they had that first night. So I've always been, I'm against Alara and Stefan. I don't think it's going to work out. And I did look up.
I mean, none of these couples.
It probably didn't work out.
Outside of the show.
Stefan's not following her on Instagram. That's what I found out by looking it up. So it probably didn't work out. But like the one I was rooting for was Kaz and Micah. Because I remember Micah from her season. I didn't like her too much in her season, of course. But I knew that she was a better fit at that time. I thought that she should have picked Kwame. So I was like, "Oh, she's with another black brother. She's with another brother. She got a thing for the chocolate." So I was like, "Okay, let's see if this worked." But you could tell, and it was from the other people as well, that has his personality, and I remember him from Dated and Related, it wasn't going to mesh well with Michael. Michael's very quiet and reserved. Kaz likes to have fun, and he's outgoing and stuff, and it was kind of like water and oil being put together. And sometimes that can work. Opposites do attract, but it, you could tell, like, when he went on the date with Holly, how he was kind of pursuing that, and then it became the ongoing thing in the second batch of episodes, how Kaz, anytime someone came in, they were going after him because they saw a crack in their relationship, that it was kind of evident this wasn't going to work out. But I did not expect it to blow up the way it did on that final episode when he basically makes out with Holly during the little drinking game, and then Micah's, you know, crying and stuff like that. And I felt bad for Micah because it really feels like she put all her eggs in one basket, and really, instead of really kind of experimenting and taking it all in like she did in Love is Blind, where she had two guys to choose from in the end, she really put all her baskets in Kaz and wasn't really pursuing anybody. And that's why she wound up matching with Izzy. What?
That was just a, well, I want to stay in the house. You're here. I'm here. Let's just match.
That happens so often on these shows, though, that you'll see people that, like, first day they meet somebody and they're like, this is it. This is the person for me. And then it just, that's not what the show is for. Like, exactly. You got to meet other people and talk to other people, too. Yeah. Also, I put the person that I thought it was in the private chat.
I saw that.
Yeah, I saw that.
Why did my mind go there?
I mean, he would offer that much for that, but that's another story for another time. But I wanted it to work, but it became very evident that it wasn't going to work. What did you think about the Kaz and Micah relationship?
So, like, they seem good for each other. Like, Micah's definitely very laid back, reserved, and doesn't seem to care all about, like, the drama and everything. And obviously, that's
totally different for her. Totally different from her season of Love is Blind.
Right. And this clearly is not the show for her, if that's how she feels as well. I felt bad kind of for both of them because Kaz likes to talk to everybody. Kaz is very social. And so everyone just used that against them of like, oh, he's talking, which means he clearly likes other people. Like they won.
Yeah, it did feel like the house was all against them because they won those two compatibility challenges and they were very good at communicating with each other. It seemed like everybody was targeting them after that.
Yeah. So like all Micah is hearing is like, oh, Kaz said this, Kaz said this, Kaz is talking to this person. And so like in her head, she's got 50 people telling her like, oh, well, he's quote unquote cheating on me and talking to all these other people. And then Kaz is like, no, like, here's what I'm saying. But it's a lot to combat when you have one voice who you're trying to trust tell you, I'm not doing anything, I'm just talking to them. And then you got 50 other people saying, oh no, he said this, 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 and this. Because like Kaz is actually being pretty truthful about what he was actually saying, but she just sees him talking, the girl laughing and everything. And so, and then again, she's got 50 people telling her, oh yeah, he told me this, 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 and this. And so she's kind of believing that, like her head was clearly getting messed with this entire time. And then of course Kaz screws it all up for himself in the end where he's like, oh, I'm not doing anything. And then they're playing the game and he full on makes out with Holly. And then he matches with Christine. So he doesn't even match with Holly at the end of that. It's like, so now of course, Micah, who Kaz was being pretty truthful with her throughout the entire season, now is probably thinking, oh, well, he just lied to me the entire time. And he was playing me the entire time. So like, I did feel bad for Micah, because she was being lied to by everybody else who just wanted to break them up. And Kaz could not control himself and stick with just like, yeah, we're good.
Because then the guys were doing that to him, like Brighton and stuff like that. When the single guys came in, they were all, because she was kind of down on their relationship from the night prior, because they were in the boardroom and they brought in Nigel for Alara and Britain for Stefan. And then they when they got to the house, everybody tried to get them to go with the other with Micah and Kaz. It was like, yo, and it's Elise. Elise was like the main person who was kind of like orchestrating all of this because she's had it out for Micah and Kaz for a couple of episodes because they were the couple that matched Harry with Jessica, and she's still got a thing for Harry. So she was targeting them every single episode after that, and she really orchestrated that whole thing that was really like the turning point for the couple.
Yeah, and when everybody's working against you, and because you've been the strongest, you've been the duo that's been matched since nearly the beginning, everybody's going after them and targeting them, and then they finally at this last episode completely broke. I think there's only like one episode left. Who do you think is going to be voted on as the winner?
Unfortunately, I think it's Alora and Stefan.
I think so too. Like, I don't like Stefan. He's been fine this season. I don't like him on Too Hot to
Handle. I hated him on Too Hot to Handle.
He's very dumb. He's still very dumb, but he's not egregiously like a horrible person on this show.
No.
He's just stupid, which fine. If you're going to be stupid, be stupid. But he's not like, he's not being a terrible person on this show. It does seem like they're going to win. I can't, like, based on who else got matched, maybe Harry and Jessica, but I think too many people are just going to be like, oh, Harry, no.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not going to vote for him. Everyone seems to like Alora and Stefan. They haven't pissed anybody off. They've been together for a while. They've been a pretty strong couple. It does seem like they are gonna win, which, sure, more power to them. No, they're not gonna last. None of these people last.
No, freaking Stefan's not even following her on Instagram. So like, that's what I'm like. This is kind of a bummer because they are the best couple that's left. Because I would have said Micah and Kaz if they would have stuck together through all the BS and BS that they were going through, that they survived it all in the end. I thought they should have won if they stuck together, but they didn't. So.
I would even go with
Chris and Tulu before this last episode. I thought they they seemed like a genuine like type of like friendship.
I don't like Chris.
Like romance.
I don't like Chris. Chris kind of sucks. I don't think Mike and Kaz would have won though because it's voted on by everybody else in the house, and nobody was gonna vote for them. Like. I don't think anyone was going to be like, oh yeah, Micah and Kaz, you know what? Let's vote for them. So even if like they were a good couple, it was very clear everyone had it out for them. So I don't think they would have won just on that. I don't like Chris. Chris sucks. I do like Tulu. She's great, but Chris is terrible.
Tulu, I did not like her in The Trust, but because I remember her from The Trust, like I said last week, I liked her in Perfect Match, and I thought that she was very much more vulnerable in this game, because it's a totally different game. You got to be more vulnerable to kind of find your perfect match and find love in this crazy, stupid game that they're playing. So she was a lot more vulnerable and showed more of her genuine side than she ever did on The Trust, so I liked her a lot more.
All right, the challenge, SB3, you want to recap this episode as we get down to the finale?
This is a fairly simple one to recap because it was all basically the daily challenge and the start of the final, basically.
Yeah.
But the episode started coming off of the last elimination where Steve beat Jay and gave the star to Ace. So everybody's like back at the house. Adam's still salty and says that he wants to make the final just to stick it into Steve, and he's gonna take his star. He don't want anybody else's star. He's gonna take Steve's star and all that. And then they basically put on their uniforms and go to the daily challenge. It was like, what was it, like 5-10 minutes at the house, if that, kind of talking about everybody's talking about you know, some six people have stars, six people don't. What's gonna happen? What are we gonna do? There's one more daily challenge. And of course, like we predicted last week, because the challenge is stupid and spent all season, 10 episodes talking about you must have one of these six stars. These six stars are so important to have. And all it was important for was you didn't get to compete in the last daily challenge because there's two more stars for the six people that wasted time and had every opportunity, to, except for Flora, because she never had an opportunity or never had a chance of doing anything in this season. And I don't know why she came on this season. Respect to her for coming on at 52 years old, but you're a waste of time. And then you quit before the final daily challenge. It's like,
why would you hear? They should have had, so I have two ideas for how they should have done this. They should have had one star up for grabs in the final battle eliminations instead of one female, one male, just one overall. And it's just, all right, it's basically battle royal, fight to the death. You get one star out of this. Or this, I understand why they wouldn't do it, but they had six stars. How many people? Eight people were left? Or was it six people? Left.
No, it was six people outside of the six star holders.
Okay, so they had six stars already done. They get to vote for who like gets to battle one-on-one for the final star, and then it becomes like then the politics and stuff come in there. And it's like, oh, do we want to put someone one-on-one between like, you know, who may earn it, who may deserve it, who went in and maybe got screwed over, like an Adam. I know Adam wasn't the most like nicest person, but he was the last person to lose his star. That's why I'm going. Are they, you know, Laurel, like we know Laurel's a strong better, or do they be like, why don't we have Flora take on Ryan? And then the winner of that gets a battle. It's like the, cause you're right, SP3, that like they talked about the six stars and it's so important. So that's why I went with that. That idea is like, having one of those six stars actually meant you had power to kind of determine who you're going to run this final against. Yeah. And I do think that the final will come down at some point. There will be like pairings, and that's why they went one and one type of thing. But it would have been better if they just one star to rule them all in the final. And the six people who had stars get some sort of power to make that determination.
I agree, because I'm very much with SP3 on it kind of made the whole thing pointless. Like, okay, so I could have just waited until the end. And then, you know, we have these people who kind of floated through, like Flora. And obviously, if I'm going one-on-one with her, I'm going to beat her. Like, I mean, it was just stupid. And giving those people the power to vote in would have at least made it a little bit better, but I think it wouldn't have annoyed me so much if all season they wouldn't have been like, there's only six stars. There's only six stars. There's only, and then, oh, just kidding.
Turns out there's eight.
Yeah. Yeah. And we know why they did that. They may have never even had intentions for that until the beginning. And then they're like, oh, well, we gotta get her in there. You know, like we know the way that they do, they manipulate things to get the people that they want into the finals. And that just kind of made it like, oh, well, that's kind of crappy because all these other people went into so many eliminations and everything and fought for theirs the way that they were told they were supposed to. And then now you're at the end and you're going to get an easy chance to go in. It was just annoying.
Yes. Especially for the two winners, it's like your competition was just Adam. Like, you didn't have any competition for Mavy. You didn't have any competition from Ryan. Who, Ryan, dude, you should have went in last week. Like, dude, if this was your big chance to go to the final, you definitely should have just let them vote you in last week because you would have beat Jay. Anybody would have beat Jay in that last week. You look like the biggest, you are the biggest dummy of this whole season, even more than Avery, who also had an opportunity to throw herself in and become a legend and get her star back. She did not take that opportunity. And then she was on that little star paddle thing floating the other way, looking like a dummy. But Ryan looks worse because he was behind her even, and he didn't even make it to the portion where you had to find the star in the thing. So it's basically like a race first where they race down this pathway, and then they use a rope to untie around a tree where they get a star, like, semi-boat to, and a paddle, and they get to basically float themselves over to a big star in the middle of the river, and they go down the river, and underneath the star is a key where you open up a box, and then you dive in into some like dirt and gunk, and you have to find the star, and the first man and woman who found the star would get the additional stars in the race. So Flora backs out right before TJ blows the horn. TJ is so not disappointed in Flora. It's like he expected Flora to quit, that he's like, I usually give a hard time to quitters, but have a good one, Flora.
He's like, thanks for showing up.
thanks for showing up. It's nice. It's nice that you showed up. And then Derek, once again, showing off his jet boosters on his legs, was the first person to make it down to get the star. And then he had a nice little lead. But then Laurel came right behind him, and she was kind of like neck and neck with him. He went down first. He got his key. Then Laurel, then Adam. So it was basically a three-horse race between Adam, Derek, and Laurel. Laurel had no competition with Avery because Avery couldn't figure out how to paddle with the thing in the river. She was going backwards the entire time. And Ryan is Ryan. So Derek makes it first. No, Laurel makes it first to her box. She unlocks it. She goes in. She's going through the gunk. Then it's Derek. And then finally it was Adam. Derek is the first one to find his star and be the male winner. And then Laurel was the woman's winner, of course, because she didn't have any competition. So she looks smart. She looks smart for not going into the elimination the entire time. I'm disappointed as a viewer, but Laurel does look smart in the long
run. Well, she looks smart, but then again, she doesn't, because like she shouldn't have known that there was an extra star at the end, even though they kept talking about it. Like, it should have been like it looked lucky that they even did that.
But she didn't even play it off like she was lucky. She talked about how, oh, I was right to not throw myself in. You see? And then she's on Twitter trying to be her own defense attorney.
Yeah, because she makes herself look even more stupid every time she freaking hits post on Twitter, because she just lives in her own little DeLulu world. And it's like, the people who are fans of her who are like, yeah, you're right, I'm like, you look stupid too. Like, you all look like just a congregation of idiots right now, because everything is blamed on editing. It's like, girl, they don't edit you screaming in somebody's face. Like, well, I apologized after. You still screamed in somebody's face.
It don't matter how many times you apologize after. That's you.
Yeah. Like, you stabbed somebody. Yeah, but afterwards I told him I was sorry that I stabbed him. Like, well, I guess that makes it all better then, that they didn't air that part. Like,
you know, I was one of the people that stabbed Julius Caesar, but I said sorry.
Yeah, like, she just makes herself look so stupid every time she says anything on there. And her trying to pretend like she's so smart, like, no, because if you knew that, that meant that production told you, and they fixed this whole thing so that you could get there. You don't look smart, and you are, you know, supposed to be the strongest woman ever on here, and your competition, that was who your competition was to get into the final, really? Like, no, you don't look strong beating someone that quit and someone that couldn't figure it out. Like, I could have beat them.
Yo, for real. I think any of us, if we knew how to work a paddle, could have beat Avery and Ryan in this. So, yeah.
I'm halfway decent at paddling. I used to do dragon boat for a time. See? So, yes, I could have figured out the paddle and would have done well.
Now, the best part of this whole entire episode, though, was them going to the final and being in a Winnebago with
TJ driving and, yeah.
Yeah.
And Kara being like, Laurel's touching me. Yeah.
It was like, Laurel, be nice to your sister. It was like, it was like, I knew production was giving them a bunch of the lines, but it was good. It was fun. Yeah. It was a nice little fun moment. And it was cool to see people, you know, getting along with one another. But I know you got to do your adjustments here. I'm done, I think. I'm done. No, anyone in the final?
Yeah, you have Nicole. Avery's gone. I lost two people. I lost Adam. I still have Steve. Cher lost Floral. I also lost Ryan.
I'll commend you, Cher, for even picking Flora. I was surprised that wasn't the chat we gave Flora to.
Well, you know what? I'm pretty sure that I was not thinking straight.
look at Cher though with her last round pick, Derek, making the finals.
Yes, look at that. Hey, all-star gaze. Let's go.
So Cher has Laurel, Ace, and Derek left. SB3, you have Nicole. I have Veronica, Leroy, and Kara left.
I'm
so
winning this.
Cher and I got three, and SB3 has one.
How the mighty have fallen. How the mighty have fallen with me.
Am I missing somebody? How's it three and one? Aren't there...
There's eight people.
Yeah, aren't there eight people left? Who am I missing? Where'd I... Oh, I have Leroy. Did I say that I have Leroy? Yeah, I have Leroy. So I have four. Cher has three. SB3 has one. That makes eight. Okay.
The mighty have fallen. So I did like this first portion of the final too. The little paintball thing. That just looks like
that fun. Looked awesome. Yeah. That looks awesome. Like a lot of fun.
That looked like a lot of fun. I love Kara not hitting any of the targets. She's just like it's just for an advantage. It's not for an elimination. So I'm just gonna be shooting and having fun. Leroy was really good at it. Leroy seems on the money. Like he really wants to win this final. He got the advantage in the first one. He won that first portion with the paintball gun. And then the second one, this is one of my favorite things they've done in a final in a very long time. The electricity thing with the star maze. I just found it so interesting off of strategy. You had Leroy who had the halfway start because he won the paintball challenge. So he's halfway through the star and he just went slowly and got to the end without being electrocuted. But then he played strategically and he just goes,
"That ruled." That was hilarious. Yeah. Him just screaming out that he was getting electrocuted. People are like, "Oh, that's fake. He's not doing that." And he got back. He's like, "Oh no, that shit hurt."
Yeah,
and then they heard Nicole scream and they're like, oh, okay, maybe that is a real scream.
So then that affected everyone who came after. Like everyone who came after had a different strategy to it because Nicole got legitimately electrocuted and then she was all acting distraught. And then she says, oh, I was putting it on it was a strategic thing to do Laurel. I don't think you've ever done anything strategic in your life, Nicole. So I don't believe you.
He's smart enough to do that. So nobody actually believes that that was strategic. Like, no.
Yeah. And even if it was, you're playing emotion. You're emotionally manipulating your girlfriend at that time. So.
I mean, it's not the first time that she's done that.
Not the first time, but Won't be the last. Dummy Laurel. But she believed her. And then that really affected everybody after that. I got to give it to, though, Ace, Steve, and Veronica. They were my favorite people in this because Ace said, oh, I'm hitting the thing every single time. He was like, it was like a bull in a china shop, but he did it really fast. Steve tried to go really slow and not hit it, but once he got hit, he was like, oh, fuck this up. And then Veronica impressed me. This was the most impressive thing Veronica has done all season, where she was getting legitimately electrocuted and made not a peep. She made not a peep. She's just like, I used to get electrocuted as a kid. What? Oh man, I had such a great time watching that. But the real victims of Leroy and Nicole going first were Derek and Laurel because they went ridiculously slow. They were like, I want to get electrocuted, and went real slow. So at the end of the episode, we're told that they are the bottom two. And in this, they basically are doing it in checkpoints where the first one is for an advantage, the next one is for elimination, and then it'll go so on and so forth. The next challenge they do will be for an advantage in the elimination round. And this was an elimination one, so they're the bottom two, and we were left with the cliffhanger that one of them are getting eliminated from this final, and they're going to do these checkpoints until there's four people left.
Well, I feel good that, you know, Laurel or Derek are gone, and I have neither of them, so... Cher's gonna
lose. Cher's gonna lose somebody at the start of this next episode.
Jerry's losing somebody. All right, we'll be back.
We only got one episode left.
Yeah, we will have the finale recap next week. We'll talk also about Perfect Match finale because that final airs on Friday. So two finales to recap: NBA draft preview, and you know we'll have Louis give us some tips since SB3 and I are not draft experts. Share.
All I have to do is shout out our St. Louis own Jason Tatum, NBA champion after last night, 4-1. And, you know, after tonight, we're going to have Matthew Tkachuk as champion, also 4-1. So,
yeah, the script writers for both have been the exact same. One team goes up 3-0.
They literally went to school together. Like, yeah, they are childhood friends. So that makes it even better. Like,
yeah, there's that video that came out. It came out a while ago, but it came out again. Like, it really resurfaced last year because the Panthers and the Celtics were in the conference finals. Mm-hmm. And of course the Panthers made the final and the Celtics didn't, but then it came back again this year because both are in the finals. Yeah. And now Tatum is one, Tkachuk is one game away. And the series have followed the same suit. Panthers went up 3-0, Celtics went up 3-0. They both got blown out in game four. And now we have game five.
You gotta like give them a little bit of something. Be like, okay, well, let's make it a little interesting. And, you know, Panthers want to win it at home, so it's okay.
I think the Oilers are in a better position to potentially – I'm not saying they're going to come back. Coming back
3-0.
I mean,
they're not going to come back.
Very different. It happened – it's at least happened in hockey. It's never happened in basketball. It's at least happened multiple times.
Well, if you hear ESPN talk about it, McDavid's going to do it all by himself. No one else is going to be –
they can't name another player on the team.
They don't know a single other player that plays for the Oilers. McDavid, he could go out there and stab somebody and they would be talking about how amazing he is. I'm so sick of hearing about that man. Like, oh my God. And that's, if you know, if he loses, it's the ref's fault. So we've already heard this song and dance, but I would like to stand. I know you guys already did. You do your other talk. I said earlier in the season that Jason Kidd is not a good enough coach to win the NBA finals, and I had people
he made it to the finals though.
No, I meant this year. No. Like he was not with it with the Mavs, and I had people arguing with me, and I'm like, I was a Jason Kidd fan as a kid. Like, it's not like I don't like the man. I had posters of him on my wall. But and people kept arguing with me and then just told me that I didn't know what I was talking about. So, you know, he lost. So
the fact that he made it to the finals.
Against the Mavs, and I love their owner too. He is like one of my favorite people as far as celebrities go, and I wanted them to lose just because people on Twitter piss me off. Fair. So
that's fair. People on Twitter can piss people off. It's true.
Sure. Do you have anything to plug?
No, I mean, I'll be here next week. I don't think I have anything going on next week, so be here then.
SP3.
I will also probably bring back 90 seconds of 90 days next week because, oh my God, there's so many interesting things. They got like two or three different seasons of 90 days going on. And I got to talk about this guy who is who has an online girlfriend. And he literally said during the first interview that he had, he was like, yeah, one of my hobbies is I like sperm donation. So I got to talk about him. Yes, it's his hobby, and he very much is into it. My daughter's trying to come in right now. Okay, I have it.
Isn't that just like my hobby is jerking off?
Hi.
No, he likes to do natural insemination, and I can't believe I said that in front of my daughter.
You don't know what that means.
No, she has no idea what that means. Say hi.
Hi.
You gonna go now? All right. No.
She just wanted to make her phone? Appearance.
Yeah, she just wanted to make her guest spot here. We're about to go to the store for her mom. But yes, you can follow me on the Twitter machine at TrueHillSP3. I will be live at 1:05 p.m. Eastern time with a Rated Raw review making its return for the first time in a month because Romeo finally watched an episode of Raw because basketball is over and he's made all his bets. And actually, Raw was interesting for the first time since WrestleMania. So we're back with Rated Raw review. So join us live for that. 1:05 or 2:05 p.m. Eastern time, where we'll talk about the Wyatt six.
I watched that 5-minute clip, and that was all I watched of Raw. So
hey, it was a nice intro, but I expected.
I thought it was cool.
It's all about the follow up. That's what I think.
Yeah, more murders. That's how it's.
I love murders in my wrestling. Yeah. So
absolutely, I'm all here for murder.
All right, I'm not plugging anything. Watch all these shows we got on this channel. I'm doing YouTube Shorts now. Everyone, tell me good job or something. I don't know.
Good job.
Thanks. I watch wrestling all the time anyway, sadly. Ace Shock.
It's kind of his job.
It's part of the job. Part of the job.
I literally never watch it. I'm always Fair. So confused when people start talking about things because we have Fair. Baseball Monday, Wednesday, Friday every week. I never know what's going on.
I'm doing gymnastics tonight. Everyone wish me luck with that.
Wow.
Like adult gymnastics, or you're going to gymnastics for a child?
I'll tell you off air.
Okay. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to hear about this.
Bye, everybody.
Baseball fans, BetMGM is giving you the chance to win a prize every day during the baseball season. Step into the batter's box for BetMGM's Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. Pick any area of the strike zone and take your best swing. If you get a single, double, triple, or home run, you'll receive a prize. Smash a home run to collect a bonus bet on us. Just log into your BetMGM sports account to get started. Then visit your promotion section to access the Swing for the Fences free-to-play game. You'll score a prize if you hit a single, double, triple, or home run. There's nothing more exciting than going yard, so swing for the fences with the king of sportsbooks. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards vary depending on the market and expire 24 hours from issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
If you and your team want to cut down on busy work and get more choice and control over accounts payable, you need Bill. Bill Accounts Payable is your secret weapon for saving time on AP. And with a special offer at bill.com/podcast, you'll save money too. With Bill, streamline your entire AP process, including bill creation, approvals, and payments. You can pay with ACH, credit card, check, and international wire transfer. Plus, you can easily integrate with most accounting software. No wonder hundreds of thousands of businesses are already using Bill to manage their AP. Schedule a free demo now to see how Bill can automate your financial operations. And right now, get 15% off when you subscribe to Bill Accounts Payable. There's never been a better time to sign up. This special offer is available for a limited time only at bill.com/podcast. Terms apply. See bill.com/podcast for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You need reliable appliances to help you conquer the day. And Menards is the one-stop shop for huge savings on new energy-efficient appliances. We carry the largest in-stock selection, starting at low prices and ready to take home today. Check out our top appliance brands, including KitchenAid, Maytag, Whirlpool, Amana, and Criterion. Upgrade today and save big money on new appliances right now at Menards. Save.